get away with. Harrison very infamously was falling asleep in his chair in meetings on his second tour and final tour of duty with the Steelers. Or I guess it might have been his third tour. I don't even remember at this point. Before he got the hell out of here and ended up in New England. But what he said right there rings very true to me about Mike Tomlin. The thing that most people, even in, and it's different here, this is the part that, gets me. It's different to hear it from a player, right? Because we always hear fans, I think, are on opposite sides usually of this. They don't like that he's such a player's coach sometimes or oftentimes because they don't like the reverse side of that, the flip side of that coin that Harrison mentions. And oftentimes, fans are at odds with players. Players say, I can't wait to play for Mike Tomlin. He treats us like men. He is a player's coach. I like being treated like an adult. I don't like being talked down to all the time. He gives respect and he gets it in return or whatever. It is something else altogether to hear somebody who was on the inside having real, honest-to-God conversations with Mike, conversations people like me or Donnie or anybody listening will pretty much never have, express the opinion that James Harrison just did. Yeah, the thing everybody likes about him, I liked about him too. It also was the worst thing about him. And it was because he had different rules for different players. And Harrison, at his peak, even though it was a shorter peak of maybe 3 to 4 years tops, he was a Hall of Fame level guy. So you would think that he was given, was James Harrison, more of the superstar treatment by Mike, because when Mike was starting out as a head coach, James Harrison was his best defensive player in year two. He won DPOY. If anybody would know how it is to be on both sides of that coin, it is him. Because when he came back late in his career, he wasn't that player anymore. According to him, Tomlin told him one thing, then Tomlin pulled the rug out from under him. And what makes me interested in Harrison's telling of this is it causes me to question whether Mike will ever change his stripes. Because this is also the man, there's a poster, somebody printed out like a piece of paper in our sales department, Donnie. I don't know if you've ever walked by it. But it's the still shot from Ryan Clark's Pivot podcast where Tomlin's sitting in that chair shooting the breeze with those guys. And he's talking about like if you do essentially common things, expect common results, you've got to take uncommon steps if you want uncommon levels of result and success. And he basically does his spiel about the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. James Harrison is a dude, like a capital D dude, who helped Mike Tomlin win his only Super Bowl, who made, quite frankly, one of the maybe the greatest play in Super Bowl history individually. And without it, they don't win that football game. And he is essentially saying right there or implying that without telling Mike how to do his job, like, yeah, this is kind of something that he just continues to do and it doesn't always work out well for him. Don't you think it's fair to ask at this point of Mike Tomlin, at the very least, at this juncture in his career, that maybe he reevaluate the way he is as a quote-unquote player's coach, or maybe he at least reevaluate the way certain guys get certain treatment, certain guys don't? There's the thought that, a lot of that ended when Ben retired because Ben and AB were gone and they were the last vestiges of players getting that certain level of treatment. But I think he's deferential to TJ Watt to the point where maybe he wouldn't make moves to put Watt somewhere else on the field that might help him. I think he's deferential to Minka Fitzpatrick, whose acumen I think as a football player Mike really respects. Minka had a very down year last year. And then to the flip side of that, starting with Mitch, running as a through line through Kenny, Mason, Fields, and Wilson, I would argue he has shown very little respect or deference to any of his quarterbacks, regardless of their level or lack thereof of accomplishment. And this was a critique from James Harrison, Don, that I think really rings true. It felt like one of the, you know, sometimes people say something and it's a very simple sentence, and it cuts right through the BS and gets to the heart of the matter. This was one of those evaluations. Partly because of who it's coming from, a guy who has probably taken advantage of both sides of this. Or, been, like I said earlier, been on both ends of it. The guy who's the star getting treated like a star by a very young Mike Tomlin. And the guy as an aging lion who got, according to him, told one thing while something else actually happened.
I also think that every truly great coach is able to show signs that they can evolve a little bit and really change their stripes, or however you put it a few minutes ago.
Evolve is fine. Like, I don't think there's been much evolution on Mike's part. I think it's been a de-evolution as a head coach, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, you think of some all-time greats. I mean, Bill Walsh revolutionized the game. Belichick, whether you love him or hate him, revolutionized the game. Now, he got a lot of help from how good his quarterback
was. But he also wasn't afraid to, like, tweak his strategy.
Right.
In fact, he was famous for tweaking his strategy and not being too proud and saying, we're only going to do it my way this week, if he didn't think that way was going to work.
Right. I mean, he was really, like, a master of that.
He was the king of being
a
defensive chameleon and being, like, a scheme chameleon.
Yeah, he would also just, even on the offensive side, they would play random dudes who would have big games. You never heard from them again. Like, do you remember the name Jonas Gray? Get too far into the weeds here. The man had like a 4-touchdown game on Sunday Night Football, and he did not play the next week. And I don't know if he ever played another NFL game.
I think he violated some sort of weird team rule or something happened, and Belichick just buried him, and that was it.
Like, he might be the truest one-hit wonder of a single game in league history. But we haven't seen that sort of evolution from Tomlin. And maybe he's not somebody who should be mentioned among the all-time greats of the coaching world, but with the way some people talk about him, you would think that he is. Like, an outsider who doesn't know football, the way that they would hear national voices especially talk about Mike Tomlin, you would think this guy must be a truly all-time great coach.
I haven't seen the kind of evolution that I would want to back that up. Here's another quote from Harrison, by the way. It's kind of an extension of what we just heard from him. Listen to this, because I think in its own way, this is a really damning quote. And you'll hear it in his voice, and I was watching the video that this came from TJ Houshmandzadeh. It's still surreal that he's talking to Hoosh on a video stream that Hoosh does. And Hoosh seems like this very interested interrogator here. He seems like a very interested guy in terms of his questions. So props to him, because he comes off very natural in that role. This wasn't said, in my opinion, with like this immense amount of malice. This is just a guy who's far enough away now from his career, Donnie, where I think he's like reflecting honestly and just kind of giving you the straight dirt on how he feels about something. This is Harrison talking about that end of career run with Mike Tomlin.
Especially like towards the end of my career, you know, the biggest thing was, you know, you ask a tough question, you get a tough answer. Well, I was asking tough questions and I wasn't getting the answer. You know, I was getting told things that weren't the answer that was the true answer. So that was something that, you know, towards the end of career, listen, if you want to sit me here and just have me here, you know, as a security blanket, say that. I'll sit back and I'll do whatever it is. But, you know, you want to sit me here and say you got a plan, but you don't have the plan. So the biggest thing, ask a tough question, get a tough answer. That didn't come true for me.
Also, I don't know if this is like a by design thing on that show for Hoosh, that he doesn't want people swearing and it's like very professional. Like, we don't really swear on this show. We're allowed to say certain words, and sometimes we do, but you know what I'm talking about. Very professional answering there by Harrison too. Very zen. I don't think that's a great look either, dude. You've been a coach for how many years at that point, when Harrison was winding down his career, and you bring him in here and he says it's one thing and you say it's apparently, or he says he was sold a bill of goods that didn't come to fruition. Man, I would think that far into Mike's career as a head coach, he'd be willing to have hard conversations with players. I know we're only getting one guy's side of it, but doesn't really reflect well. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. James Harrison goes on a video stream hosted by TJ Houshmandzadeh, proceeds to say the thing he liked the most about Mike Tomlin was also the worst thing about Mike Tomlin. He was a player's coach, and it could get disruptive when he would let certain players get away with certain things and have it go too far. Huh. That sounds familiar, but it's a little different coming from a guy that is a massive reason why Mike Tomlin has a Super Bowl in his trophy case. Is that a critique, or is that James Harrison getting it exactly right about Mike Tomlin? And what's it say that we're talking about a coach right now that has not really shown a predisposition to adjust? He hasn't adjusted really as a player's coach. If anything, he has maintained that status quo of certain guys get certain treatment. And in the case of his quarterbacks lately, the treatment has actually gone the other way. I'll put these guys in a vice grip. I want my defense to rule the day. but my defense isn't good enough to do it. 412-928-9370. I think a lot to unpack from James Harrison there. And like I said, he's been on both ends of it. He probably got the superstar treatment way back when he was defensive player of the year. And then it seems like when he was a grizzled veteran brought in, Tomlin just kind of treated him like just a guy at best. Mike is in Cranberry now on the Fan. Hey, Mike.
Well, you know, maybe James was just what he used to be, you know. I'm sure he got a little sour that he didn't get to play when he come back, but long in the tooth, I mean.
Hold on, though, about him. I'm sure he was sour, but does he strike you as a guy that would completely fabricate? Because his claim has always been Harrison's, Mike, that Mike Tomlin told him that they had like a legitimate role for him, that he was going to play like a decent number of snaps. And then when push came to shove, that didn't happen at all. So does he strike you as the kind of dude that would blow smoke about that and be lying about it through his teeth? Because James Harrison is or isn't, he doesn't strike me as that kind of guy.
I'm not saying he was lying. I'm just saying maybe he couldn't do it anymore and just didn't want to face it. A lot of old guys won't face it. You know what I mean? I mean,
I understand that, but the Patriots, when they, like, hold on, Mike, when the Patriots, I'll let you finish. When the Patriots picked him up right after that, they saw cause to give him some snaps right away. I mean, that was Bill Belichick deciding that James Harrison still had utility to a team.
For 2 days, 2 games? Come on, man.
Still, they put him in there. I remember him getting a big pressure late in one of their games. Don't you, Don?
I agree. James probably still had a little bit, but not.
Well, this really isn't about. But really, this isn't about Harrison. This is about Tomlin. Like, does the criticism there ring true overall for you?
He does treat guys special, but some guys you got to kick in the ass. Some guys you got to pat on the back. Some guys you don't. Some guys can't handle being the sixth man.
Well, I think Tomlin's famous explanation is always, I treat guys fair, and fair doesn't mean equal. But I guess my point would be, if that's been his MO as a coach basically since he came into the league, I would argue that he probably needs to change it because it's just not delivering the results that he's accustomed to it delivering.
I don't know. We just we're starting to sound like a Cleveland-based. We win.
Do we?
So I ain't
When's
complain.
The last? We win. No, they. That's kind of the problem. They don't. They haven't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. Cleveland has a playoff win over the Steelers more recently than the Steelers have a playoff win. I mean, that's the bottom. That's kind of like the bottom line for me. Here's a story about Tomlin that I always like to repeat because it just shows me how it's gone in reverse. Usually in life, aren't you like? You're young and you're dumber when you're younger, right? You get wise as you get older, just broadly speaking. 40-year-old Mulsey isn't, you know, as spry as 25-year-old Mulsey was, but I can assure you I am a lot smarter than I was then. 25-year-old Mulsey was a total idiot. Mike, in his second year, and I know Donnie knows this because he's a student of Steelers history, his first year, he ran those guys way too hard. He pushed them too hard. The rules were different about how hard you could practice guys in training camp before the new CBA that came in, I want to say 2010 or 2011. And Mike ran those guys so hard and pushed the needle into the red so much that players kind of said, hey, man, this is why we crapped out in the playoffs. Like, we're veterans. You took over a veteran team. You got to go easy on us. And partly because maybe he felt like he needed to step carefully because he was so young as a head coach and was replacing a guy in Cowher that would end up becoming a Hall of Famer, he backed off the next year. He heeded his players' advice. They won a Super Bowl. I would think you'd have a young coach who'd be more stubborn early on and defiant about doing it his way. Instead, though, if it's the older version of Tomlin gets told that by his veterans that year, I'm wondering if he changes his tack at all. The older version of Tomlin would say, tough luck, I'm Mike Tomlin, like I know better than you. And I say that because it feels like that's what he's turned into, and I don't mean that in a complimentary way. And he doesn't have the results behind him right now to justify that lack of changing. Bob is on the Fan. Hey, Bob.
Hey, yeah, I was just calling in regarding that question. I think it's kind of like Mike Tomlin seems like he's having an identity crisis because you hear about this players coach thing that he's got so much going on a national level, but then you hear him after press conferences when they lose a game, where he's going to lock things down and be this hard-edged, I don't know, kind of disciplinarian of a coach.
Yes.
Harrison isn't the only player that we've heard that from, and it seems like a lot of the guys, especially the Steelers' defense, didn't go out on the best note, like Polamalu, Clark.
The outside looking in guys are the guys who came from the outside. Melvin Ingram's the one I use all the time.
I was just going to mention him. Yeah.
Ingram feeling like he was sold a bill of goods and then it never came to pass, I thought was kind of interesting as well. I mean, you can apply this offensively, Bob, and thanks for the call, to Russell Wilson last year. Think about the juxtaposition of how Mike talked about Russ when they acquired Russ versus how sour things got at the end of the year. And we only really, I think, knew the full extent of it after the fact. He treated him like, wow, of course I'd be deferential and you know, really kind of talk this guy up and pump his tires. He's won a Super Bowl. Almost like, hey, guys in the locker room, go look at this guy. He's the example. Look, he's Russ. And then when it was time for Mike to actually believe in Russ, oh, whoa, wait a minute. No, whoa, whoa. Did you see that turnover he had? Hell no. Put the hands at 10-2 on the steering wheel and obey all traffic signals, pal. You ain't cooking. You're starting a grease fire. That music means it's time for the Donnie Debrief, Donnie's football topic of the day that might have slipped through the cracks. There could be plenty of candidates there. He always combs the football landscape to find the best for you. The Debrief is brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Donald, take it away.
The Debrief, June 27, 2025. There will be no supplemental draft this year, Malzi. There actually has not been one since 2019. So that made me think, who are some of the best players that were ever taken in the supplemental draft? And along with that, do you know the answer to this question of who is the only Hall of Famer?
I know that one for sure. Chris Carter.
Yes.
All he does is catch touchdowns and become a supplemental draft pick.
He also writes for the Post-Gazette. He stole Kenny Pickett's car once.
Oh, yeah. Chris Carter.
Am I thinking of another one?
Chris Carter created the show The X-Files, which you wouldn't
know. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, you would know about.
Which spurred Vince Gilligan, who made Breaking Bad.
Because, yeah, Vince Gilligan was in those. I'll tell you, did you know that Gillian Anderson from that show was like a massive sex symbol in Australia? Now, she's a very good-looking woman. The redheaded woman on the show with Duchovny. She became like a phenomenon on top of a phenomenon, specifically in Australia. I think she was Canadian. They couldn't get enough Gillian Anderson back in the day in Australia, man. They were going bananas for her. Anyway. Chris Carter is, I knew that answer.
Yeah, 1987, picked by the Eagles. He's the only Hall of Famer.
I'm going to give you a recent one that just strikes me as notable. Josh Gordon, I always think about as a supplemental guy.
Yeah, I would think if you're listing like a top five, he's probably either four or five, but
Kozar?
He could have been, I think Kozar higher than Gordon, but yes, he's also.
Carter's got to be one. Are we just going to do a top five supplemental picks of all time since all anyone's doing are these top five lists right now?
I would probably say Gordon at number five.
Okay, so Carter's one. That's
could have
not
been much
even
higher
debatable.
If he
he's one of the stories I actually
out of the league.
He's a story I feel bad about too because he has truly battled it, man. Like, I mean, battled it to an extreme degree, and what a talent he is or was. Kozar's up there. Where are we putting Kozar?
Let's hold on to Kozar.
Because I do have a name
pulled up. Jamal Williams, the defensive tackle from Oklahoma State. Three-time All-Pro with the Chargers in the mid-2000s. That's
pretty good.
Yeah.
All right.
He might even be second to Chris Carter if you're looking at straight accolades. Kozar or Williams?
Yeah, I'm going to put Jamal Williams in there. That's tough, but like two first-team All-Pros. Kozar was a good to very good quarterback at times. He was never – was he an All-Pro? I don't think he was.
He was a two-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, he wasn't an All-Pro, though.
Correct.
Okay, Moore?
Did win a lot of games.
Yes, he did.
For sure. What about Rob Moore from Syracuse?
I think of Rob Moore as a Jets wide receiver in Tecmo's Super Bowl in the Nintendo version. So I know that name because of that. I forget who their running back. Blair Thomas, I feel like, might have been their running back in that game. I believe Penn State product, if memory serves.
That sounds right to me.
There's one guy I'm waiting. There's one dude I'm waiting for you to name here because he would have a special connection to your county of birth.
See, but I don't think
he cracks it though.
Right.
Terrell Pryor. Yeah, I don't think he cracks it.
Which was one of the more recent guys actually taken in the supplemental draft. It was a much more regular thing back in the 80s and such because of how the CBA was. They haven't had it again since 2019.
Tito Wooten do anything for you? Colts DB?
No.
Dave Brown of the Cardinals? And the Giants, actually? That's who got him.
Pryor... Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't be top five. Pryor wouldn't, at least. But I don't know. Maybe if you extend it to like a top.
How about Bobby Humphrey? Bobby Humphrey was a pretty good player. Like for that little, like tiny bit of time, he was a Pro Bowler. He's very short career, but.
Yeah, I'm looking at him now.
Almost 3,000 rushing yards in 4 total NFL seasons. He was a decent little player for the Broncos. He's another Tecmo Super Bowl guy.
I feel like we have a pretty good five.
Steve Walsh,
the obvious one.
Big Steve Walsh started 3 playoff games. God, some of these, you could be absolute doo-doo at quarterback with like career touchdown to interception ratio as recently as the 90s and still you found your way into a couple playoff starts. 40 touchdowns to 50 picks and Steve Walsh, 3 times a team told their fan base and told their locker room, boys, it's time to rally around Steve. He's going to lead us. And he won a playoff game.
Did we have the 5?
So Chris Carr, how about Brian Bosworth? The Boz. No, he only played 24 games.
Yeah.
But do
if
you,
anything, given his
at
hype,
all,
he
though,
was a
because
flop.
His shoulder injury was it was injury and not like crappiness at football. He had the shoulder injury. Do we give him a little bit of a medical red shirt to this team? I can't put Gordon behind him though. He'd have to be
no,
if we
I,
put him on the list, he'd have
not,
to be 5.
I would not put Bosworth in the 5. Carter right. is easy.
Carter
1,
Jamal Williams 2, Kozar 3.
Yeah, unless you wanted to put Kozar ahead of him, but I mean Williams being an All-Pro.
No, I can live with
a couple
and then
times,
Rob
and
Moore
he played
4
for over a dozen years.
Are we going Rob Moore or Gordon? Rob Moore for sure. What am I saying? Yeah. He had almost 10,000 receiving
the
yards.
Longevity for him, but then Gordon, I think behind him.
I think that's a good list. I mean, Chris Carter is going to be a trivia question for forever. I would think. Are they only having it? Are they only doing away with it this year, or permanently doing away with it?
I think it just comes down to like players that are
eligible
to be
okay.
in a supplemental draft, which normally happens for negative reasons. So I guess it's a good thing we haven't seen it since 2019.
I mean, I feel pretty comfortable saying that Chris Carter is going to be a historical footnote as the only Hall of Fame player taken in a supplemental draft.
I mean, the guys that have gotten taken, Gordon's the last guy to get taken that actually made it to a Pro Bowl. Out of the guys who have gotten taken since, there are 4 names.
Okay.
I've never heard of any of them.
Give me the names at least.
Isaiah Battle in 2015.
Where did he go to school? Why is that name so familiar sounding?
He was a tackle at Clemson.
No, that's not what I would have guessed. Okay, that's not what I would have guessed. Next.
Sam Beal.
No.
Adonis Alexander. Sounds like a pro wrestler.
I was going to say, like, go to the... Why don't you go work in the WWE, brother?
And Jalen Thompson, who to his credit, he does still play for the Cardinals.
Carter's going to be, I think we have the right list. Carter, Jamal Williams, Kozar, Rob Moore, Josh Gordon. I think that's it. You could make a case for Bobby Humphrey as like an honorable mention, but I think we have the correct 5 and probably in the correct order. You sold me on Williams. Big Hoss in there. Kozar had to have one of the goofiest throwing motions, by the way, of a solid quarterback. You ever watch old NFL films highlights of him? Go back and watch some Browns games from the 80s when they were like when they were the cat's ass and they were actually competing for titles.
Oh, yeah, like the drive
that
game.
He'd be sidearming balls down the middle of the field. You'd see the ball go up and you go, how on earth is this thing not getting intercepted? The anticipation and stuff. He would just throw to spots on the field and guys would basically run under it and be there. It was very wild to watch.
Where does he rank in their... in the Browns' all-time quarterback list.
Sipes got to be ahead of him, doesn't he? Otto
Graham. Yeah, he won an MVP, right?
Yeah, Otto Graham's the easy number one. Sipes got to be there at two, doesn't he? Baker? No, Bernie is ahead of Baker because Baker never got them to AFC title games. Where's Vinny Testaverde rank? He was... Man, why are we ranking Cleveland Browns quarterbacks? If Ken Carmen is listening to this show right now on his birthday, he is very put off by what he's hearing.
But I think without question, Kozar top five there.
Well, the problem for the Browns is, other than everybody saying names. Otto Graham, you automatically know Otto Graham's number one on that list. Sipe, I think Sipe, just by virtue of being an MVP in 1980, has to get the nod at number two. Kozar, I think you would argue they had maybe their most sustained team success in the Super Bowl era with him. He's probably three. Mayfield's, man, but dude, Kozar, it was only like a couple of years, really, where they were a really good team with him. Then he really scuffled. Yeah, I think Kozar's three, Baker's four, and then what? Do we say Horseballs Anderson is five? Derek Anderson?
My goodness.
I'm just saying, dude. They're known not for that. They're known for having the jersey with 800 names on it. Maybe Kenny Pickett will etch his name onto the list as the fifth best quarterback in Browns history. You see people out there saying he's probably going to start. Get your damn popcorn ready if that happens. If he manages,
Deontay Johnson said that.
Yeah, that's right. That was who I saw, and I think more people are echoing that. Steelers-Browns with Pickett starting for Cleveland would just be an absolute electric factory. Can you imagine a more supercharged environment?
And I hope we get that.
Here.
Yes.
I want it to be here.
Well, it'll have to be the one here because that's early in the season.
Well, you're saying Kenny can't hang on to that job, big dog?
I'm questioning if it's held on to by week six. We went through
those tiny little hands gripping that job tightly.
Their first month or so of the season is hell.
What would be... Can you imagine if he comes into Pittsburgh... And what week are they? Why am I not like able to call
six.
Off that? Okay. So he comes to Pittsburgh week six and they're 5-0. Can you imagine? The Browns are, I mean. Kenny's the story of the NFL. Kevin Stefanski has unlocked something within Kenny Pickett.
If they are 5-0, I will bow down and give that guy props like never before. I would say they should build a statue for him. They're playing the Bengals, the Ravens, the Packers, the Lions, and the Vikings.
Oh, the week on the air that week would just be unlike anything any of us have ever experienced. If he had ripped off those five wins in a row, and, like the Steelers were scuffling along at 2-3,